And now, an exclusive interview with Mike Grell, creator of the comic book Permission to Die.
Well, hello, Mr. Grell. Am I pronouncing it right?
It's Grell.
Grell. So you...
Rhymes with go to hell.
It does. So you wrote and drew Permission to Die in the late 80s. How did that come about?
I was approached by Acme Press, who is the publisher in England. I had just come off of a book called Green Arrow, The Longbow Hunters.
I read that.
So I was at the top of my game at the time, and I had already done a similar type of a character in my own series called John Sable Freelance. So I had a reputation for doing real-world stuff, some hard-edge stuff, and, you know, cutting-edge storytelling. So that's why they came to me. The rest was just dumb luck.
And for the storyline, what type of guidelines did you have? Did you come up with all of the story by yourself, or did they have the treatment before they approached you?
I wrote everything. I wrote everything myself. The storyline that I came up with, I was only given a few parameters, sort of limits to what I could do. The editorial input was minimal. The limits that I was given was that I couldn't use Spectre, because Spectre was the creation of the films. Couldn't use Q, so I used Major Boothroyd instead. For editorial, there was one point that they insisted that I change, which just cracked me up, because there's a scene in one of the books where this girl has created a distraction so she can get Bond alone to talk to him, and they go into the men's room, and she's checking under the stalls to make sure there's nobody in there. And in my scene description, I had written, Bond eyes her fanny appreciatively. And I get a call from Glidrose, you can't do that. I went, well, why not? And he said, well, for starters, in England, a woman's fanny is a very specific part of her anatomy. So I changed it to derriere, and they were fine with that. But what cracked me up is that it's a scene description. Nobody's going to see that except me and the editor. But the editor was appalled, so I had to change it.
And, I mean, I read the story. I have questions in regard to some of the characters. Now, the name escapes me. The main villain, the doctor. Honestly, I don't remember his name. But I've noticed that he has a striking resemblance to an actor. Tell me if I'm wrong, but is he based on Peter Cushing?
No. He was based on Terrence Stamp.
Oh. Now
badly,
I see it.
Badly based on Terrence
Stamp. No. I see it. I think him and Peter Cushing have similar face structure.
When I create a character, generally what I'll do is think of an actor who I would cast in the role, and then I just hold that in my brain while I'm drawing. Not necessarily looking for photographic reference, but I find that, for instance, if I was doing a character who was based on, say, well, let's take another James Bond, Sean Connery, okay? If I was doing a character who I thought Connery would be perfect for, I don't need to look up reference because I've seen him for every possible angle a million times. What'll come out on paper will look enough like Connery to suit me, not photographic by any means, maybe not even a good likeness, but it's easy for me to draw because I can think of that person in that pose, and then it comes out. Very rarely had to do much more than that. My James Bond, however, was based on the same person that Fleming based James Bond.
Ogie Carmichael?
Ogie Carmichael. If you take a look at the frontispiece, you open up the book to the first frontispiece spread, It's taken from a photograph of Bogie Carmichael playing on a piano. And all I did was put a Walther in his hand, number one, and chopped about a half an inch off of his nose, put the black comma over his eye, and instead of him having a 3-inch scar on his cheek, I made the scar so that it came down through his eyebrow and just a little touch on his cheek. Overall length 3 inches long, but you know, if you're a spy, you've got a 3-inch scar on your cheek. They had plastic surgery good enough that they were able to remove the smirch emblem from the back of his hand. Why wouldn't you have a 3-inch scar removed from your cheek, right?
You know your stuff. I'm impressed.
My concept was that if someone was swinging a knife at you, you'd probably duck back. And maybe the knife would just graze you from here, miss the eyeball, and catch you again on the cheek. Every kid in my generation has got a scar in their eyebrow. I've got one there. A young lady who used to appear at a medieval action show that I was part of called the Seattle Knights got a scar in her eyebrow. And I said, you know, if I was you, I would really enhance that for the shows. And the next day, she had shaved out a portion of that and built a fake scar that came from up here and then down across her cheek. And people would look at her like, did that happen? Was that a sword?
Last night?
Yeah.
Awesome. And is there a chance that we could see, because it's celebrating, Permission to Die is celebrating its 30th anniversary. Is there a possibility could somebody that has the license could pick up the rights and reprint it somehow?
Not a snowball's chance in hell. We tried. The Vaughn people shut us down. They're not interested. They're not interested. I don't know what they're thinking
about. You know what? We'll shine some spotlight on it with our podcast on it. Who knows? It might push the needle.
If you would, that would be fantastic.
We reviewed a few of the Dynamite comics before, and we've got good reactions. Those are actually our most recent podcasts, so we're going to try and push the needle as much as possible.
Yeah, we tried about 3 or 4 years ago, and they said no. They're just absolutely not interested. I think what it is that they can see the advantage to me, but they can't see the advantage to them. So why bother?
They don't want to make money because it would sell.
They don't want to make money. Right. It's free money.
It's free money. This is 30 years old. It's material. Right. This is just lying around to be reprinted. It's like...
Right. It is. It's just waiting to be reprinted.
Even the old comic book adaptation from the 80s, the Octopussy, For Your Eyes Only, Your License to Kill, and the Golden Eye, as far as I know, the Golden Eye was never fully printed, but the work, I think, has been completed. So they could just print it, and it's free money. People would buy them.
It's free money.
It's insane.
That's what they have to stretch to.
And I haven't read the License to Kill adaptation. That's actually harder to track down than Permission to Die. How did that come about?
I was already doing Permission to Die when they came to me and said, want to do a License to Kill, which is why I only adapted the script and did the layouts, and I worked with other artists to do the finishes. I was working from, we had tons of stills from the production. One thing that was missing, and when I went to the theaters, I was appalled to see it show up, was Wayne Newton. like Wayne Newton in a James Bond movie?
If you want to
shoot in Las Vegas, you got to have Wayne Newton, right? And the other part that was not part of the equation at all was the scene in the drug lab where they're grinding up all the cocaine.
Yeah.
And that silly scene with Bond and I think it's Benicio del Toro, isn't it?
Dario. what's his character's name?
Yeah. Okay, they're fighting inside the grinder.
Yeah.
With all this cocaine dust in the air, they could have run on that treadmill, no problem at all. I mean, like, come on, guys. Think a little bit. Just think.
Yeah, that's a sequence. That's when you think about it, and like, both Bond and Dario are probably high as hell in that sequence. When Pambuvi shows up, I'm pretty sure he's seeing her as Felix Leiter's wife. That's why he's like, you're dead! That's my theory. Oh, it's fantastic. And would you be interested in doing another comic book if
I'd love to. I would love to.
They're doing Dynamite. And do you have any favorites for Bond actors, Bond girls, movies?
Well, yes, of course. But having been from that era, Sean Connery is my favorite. Daniel Craig, really close second. Although I think Pierce Brosnan was probably genetically engineered for the role. He could have used a couple of better scripts. If he had been given the same level of scripting that Daniel Craig got, there'd be no comparison, really. Favorite Bond movie is On Her Majesty's Secret Service, beyond a shadow of a doubt. If that movie had starred Sean Connery, today people would be saying the best ever, the best in history, seriously. And favorite Bond girl, Diana Rigg.
Gotta be.
With Halle Berry, a really close second. Yeah.
Good picks. I mean, we have Jeff, from James Bond Canada. He was actually at Peace Gloria about a month ago.
Yes.
For the 50th anniversary. That's his favorite movie.
I just hung out with George Lazenby and all the cast on top of the mountain and Portugal. They went to the beach. He pretended to fight on the beach. And all the stuff with Terrence Mountain, who plays.
That's great. Yeah. So that sounds like a blast.
It was a lot of fun. 2 weeks.
I was just saying about if Connery had played that role, everybody would be saying that's the best Bond movie ever. I think if George Lazenby had stayed with the role, he could have developed it, the recognition with the character enough that people would be looking back at On Her Majesty's Secret Service and go, that's it.
I think I tend to agree.
Yeah.
All right. And as far as a social media presence, do you have a Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram?
There is a Mike Grell page on Facebook. It's an authorized fan page. My webmaster does run a Twitter that I'm sure you can find it out there. I don't do Facebook or Twitter myself.
You know what? I'll find it and I'll share it on our page.
Thank you very
much. I'll try and push the idea of reprinting License to Kill and Permission to Die as much as humanly possible. Because of the three of us, I'm probably the biggest comic book guy. I'm mainly originally a comic book guy. So I'm actually really hyped that they're doing Bond books, but I would like them to reprint the older books. Some that are harder to find, like Permission to Die. There's some that I haven't been able to get a copy of, but yours I did, because I looked at those. When I saw the covers, I'm like, I fell in love immediately. Those are gorgeous, gorgeous.
I had some really good fortune and some bum luck, of course, with the publisher not being able to find a printer who would take their business for so long. That story stayed in a can for so long that by the time it was printed, the Iron Curtain had already fallen. You know, the entire premise of it is that there's this, you know, the mission is to break this scientist out from behind the Iron Curtain.
It evokes From Russia with Love at times, and a bit of I don't know if it's by design.
Intentional. Absolutely intentional. I tried to include as many of the great bits that you expect in a Bond movie as I could get. Exotic girls fighting over Bond or things like that. The villain,
the villain inside the mountain.
Right. The villain is based on a real scientist. He's not a villain by any means, but there is a guy who has a high level government job, had at the time. He had a female helicopter pilot, about 6 feet tall, stunning blonde, who flew him in and out of his place. Oh yes, in the mountains. That's underground in the mountains.
I mean, really?
Subterranean. Yeah, yeah, the whole nine yards. The only way in or out is by helicopter.
That is, and that's based on a real person. And
based on a real person.
Fascinating.
And the setting for it was Lake Pend'Oreille in Idaho, northern Idaho. It's the largest freshwater lake in the United States, west of the Mississippi. It's 43 miles long. Has 140 some odd miles of shoreline. It's 1,130 feet deep. And the U.S. Navy has a sonar research sub in it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right.
That's a good...
And the rocket tube, that's part of the story that they're intending to use to launch a small nuke, was a real concept that they were actually building at the University of Washington at the time.
I heard stories about such a device, but I need to go. It was a pleasure talking to you.
It's great.
I'll share this to your Twitter and the person that handles your social media platform on Facebook.
You can also check me out on MikeGrell.com.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Have a great time.
Thanks.
Bye bye, ciao bella.